Morning Watch, Crystallization, Study of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Week 6, The Intrinsic Significance of the Purification of the Returned Captives. Tuesday, Related Verses. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. John 1, verses 16 and 17. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law which was given through Moses, grace in reality came through Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. For which cause I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. Ephesians 5, verse 26. That he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word. Related reading. Though we have said that the spirit must be clean, the spirit itself is not actually filthy. Indeed, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of spirit. But this defilement is not of the spirit itself, but that affected by the soul and body. The spirit in our innermost part is pure and undefiled. However, surrounding the spirit are the soul and body, both of which have been mixed with the wicked elements of Satan and are thus filthy and corrupt. Therefore, when the spirit comes forth and passes through the soul and body, it becomes contaminated by this filthiness and corruption. Hence, when being manifested, the spirit bears certain filthiness, corruption, impurity, impropriety, and various other undesirable conditions. Dealing with the Spirit is not dealing with the Spirit itself, but with the passage of the Spirit, that is, with the purpose of the heart, motive, aim, and intention. Whenever we are about to act or speak, not only do we need to inquire about whether what we are about to do is right or wrong, good or bad, but we must also discern whether or not our inner intention is clean, our motive pure, and our aim holy for God. Is there any selfish purpose behind our action? Is there any self-inclination? We must go one step further and deal with all the negative purposes of the heart, the undesirable intentions, the impure inclinations, the improper will, and the mixed emotions to the end that not only the Spirit can come forth, but that it may come forth in an upright, clean, and pure manner. Dealing with the Spirit emphasizes dealing with the impure intentions, motives, and other mixtures within us. Whereas dealing with the conscience emphasizes dealing with the feeling of the conscience toward all the mixtures. A brother is very dissatisfied with another brother and has many feelings of criticism and complaint. Although these feelings have not been expressed, yet within his conscience he realizes that this is not right. Therefore, he confesses this as sin before God. This is his dealing with his own conscience. Nevertheless, he is not willing to abandon these dissatisfied feelings and deal with these mixtures. Therefore, whenever he is reminded of this brother or mentions the brother, his spirit still contains these mixtures and is still a dissatisfied spirit, full of criticism. Not until he receives mercy again and abandons the dissatisfaction hidden deep within him, so that there is no more such mixture in his spirit, will he have once learned the lesson of dealing with the spirit. We need to deal with the spirit in order to deal with the nature within. It is only when the nature is dealt with that the root of the matter is treated. The practical way to deal with the spirit is similar to that of the various dealings mentioned before. First, we need to condemn the mixtures, and second, to remove them by the power of the Holy Spirit. For example, if we have a crooked spirit, we must first condemn this crookedness as sin. Second, we must purge out this crookedness from within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Although the condemning and the removal are through the power of the Holy Spirit, yet they are of our own initiative. We must be willing to have such dealings and desire them. Then we can draw from the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit requires the cooperation of our will. When he has this, he will supply us with the power for dealing.